You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back.
Yeah, Jim, here we are, Friday morning, and it's dull and gray and rainy in Vancouver.
And if it wasn't on this day in December, we'd wonder what the hell's going on.
Right.
Well, we usually kick off our show with a question from one of our listeners. This question comes from our friend Michael in Arizona. And Michael asks Bob, copper is at an eight-year low against gold. Quantitative tightening has just ended in America. The small caps might be breaking out in the States. The president wants to pump the economy before midterms. Could it be we get one last blow-off top going into the summer of 2026 before a fall crash?
That's a good question. This is a robust market, and we thought it could be good maybe into January. So we're kind of watching for... We're getting some excesses. Sentiment is good. I mean, the public is in. Everything's great. So it's under these conditions where you say, oh, who's left to buy the market? And, of course, they're opposite to what you get at the bottom. The public, it does not buy the stock market at the bottom. Only pros or those covering shorts. So, yeah. It's a good question.
Bob, is it true the first week of January or perhaps the whole month of January predicts how the market's going to do for the whole year?
Oh, that one floats around, and I've never held much for it, you know.
Well, what would Tilius Marcus Cicero say about that?
Yeah, or anybody else. Oh, yeah, there is a wonderful quote on the financial markets by Cicero, or if you were a Roman then, of course, you'd pronounce it as Cicero, and he pointed out that if you had a financial crisis in the Far East, like where then it was Phoenicia, it would eventually hit Rome. And that observation was some 2,000 years ago. And it's absolutely right, because this is where the problems start, is in smaller or outlying exchanges. And then it works its way to the senior exchange, which is now New York. So we'll... But, hey, the party's been great. It may be fully expressed, but we won't know until we get further into the first quarter.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy, taking a look at some of the headlines that caught his eye. From the Washington Post, more Americans are getting their power shut off as unpaid bills pile up. Is that an indication of what's happening in the real economy?
Oh, yeah, Jim. That's a sad one. You know, it just gets tough. Everybody, and unfortunately, ordinary, you know, people with the households and whatnot can get a little overexcited in the good times and maybe take on too many purchases and on time, and then you run into the problems, and that headline... It covers the subject.
Do you think there's the possibility that we could see a revolution in the U.S. with the gap growing between the haves and the have-nots? Elon Musk destined to become the first trillionaire on the planet?
Oh, yeah. Big numbers. But you got to understand that in a great financial bubble, and this is now number six, then the first one started with the South Sea bubble in 1720, and you had the equivalent on each, and now right on up to now number six great bubble. Huge gains, and great players, and then it has a tendency to go away.
From Zero Hedge, corporate animal spirit is back. What does that mean, Bob?
Oh, yeah, it was maybe Keynes, the economist, said something about animal spirits. When you have a very bold and strong market, it's animal spirits. So that it could be Keynes, but I'm not certain. But it's been that one, animal spirits, had been floating around for a long time. So, yeah.
From Zero Hedge, Japan's debt bomb explodes. 1.2 trillion global exit begins as currency war goes nuclear.
Yeah. Well, the debt bomb explodes. That pretty well says it. The great speculation in Japanese long bonds looks like it has exploded. So I like the term explode. Debt bomb explodes.
Hmm. Now, from Business Insider, the headline, the seven parts of the U.S. economy that are already in recession.
Yeah, that's seven parts. They don't say how many parts there are all together. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's eight, maybe it's nine. But anyways, the main thing, Jim, it's the headline.
And, taking a look at the article here, it said seven parts of the U.S. economy are in recession, highlighting struggling sectors such as home building, trucking, higher education, and restaurants.
Yeah, I can see. I am sensing that the restaurant trade really is slowing down. So.
Well, everywhere. I mean, to start with, it's the most risky enterprise to get involved with. Something like, now this may be an out-of-date statistic, but back in the 90s, I saw a stat that said 95% of restaurants that start are out of business within 5 years.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, it's very precarious business to get started in, but gosh, if you make it, it's very good, like top-line restaurants out of Vancouver with Umberto's.
Yeah. That was a great place.
Or we've got others, you know, like Earl's. And so, you know, if you're really good and got the right things going, you can make serious money in the restaurant business. But it's a business that everybody tries and many fail. So.
Headline from What's Up With That? A few markers on the road to the demise of the climate apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, What's Up With That is a website that rationally covers the climate and all that sort of thing. I look at it regularly, and I just thought, yeah, a few markers on the road to the demise of I would have put in the forthcoming climate apocalypse. They've been pushing for 30 years now that you and I breathing out carbon dioxide is going to create global warming. And then the next step on that farce is that warming is bad. Well, you can take a look at a billion years of history of life on Earth, and I want to tell you that the warm periods have been wonderful for many life forms. Well, just, you know, imagine lifting up a glacier and looking underneath and seeing how many life forms are there. And on the last extension of the Ice Age, it got all the way down to where Chicago is now. So the crowd, first of all, on cause and effect, CO2, it is impossible that molecules of CO2 could change the temperature. It's also impossible, or they imagine that a CO2 molecule hangs up there, and it's got a shiny side down, reflecting heat back to Earth, and that is absurd. Then you got the last part is warming is good. So there, it's the crazies who want to control your life, and will grab onto anything that creates fear, and through fear you can impose control.
Headline from Reuters, New Zealand's housing funk sows doubts on reliable investment strategy, drags on economy. I guess that goes back to, oh, you can never fail by going into real estate.
Oh, yeah. But as I said, you don't often see a headline about New Zealand. But I thought, oh, there we are.
Mm.
And it's a good story. And it's Reuters, so good story.
Another headline here. Does a growing economy require increases in the money supply?
That's a yeah. Good one. The whole of the central banking Keynesian interventionist crowd really thinks that you have to have an expanding money supply. But they don't understand that money supply, however you want to define it, was perfectly capable of expanding and contracting before the Federal Reserve started in that fateful Christmas of 1913. So the Mises, von Mises, was a very practical and intelligent economist, and wrote very scathing articles taking the whole of the interventionist stuff apart. So now this then leads to the current impression is that if they increase the money supply, the Federal Reserve, let's call it the Federal Open Market Committee, they decide that the economy is too slow, so they're going to increase the money supply, and it doesn't make any difference. When the boom is a thing of itself, and again, they always get way overdone, and then it is very natural to collapse. Now, that's on the regular 3 to 4 year business cycle. Now, what you're dealing with, as we preach, we have been in the greatest financial bubble in history. And the first one, as I've said, was the South Sea Bubble of 1720. And they have very much in common, each one. And this bubble is fully expressed. And lots of participants, lots of enthusiasm. And all you do is kind of wait for it to crack and roll over. Maybe in the new year. We'll see when we get there.
What was the South Seas bubble? Refresh my memory here.
Okay. It bubbled up in 1720 in London. And the commodities had their peak about 9 years earlier than that. And in price history, you go way back, you get regular highs in commodities, and this goes back to 1300. You have a high for commodities, and then about a decade later, you go into a serious and 20-year contraction. And then you didn't have a stock bubble. And there weren't enough stocks around to about 1690s where you could actually call it a market. And the first, in English, financial market letter was started about 1695 with a guy by the name of John Houghton, and he had comments on stocks and stuff like that. So then you had the new game, which was stock speculation, and it peaked on the old pattern 9 years after the big boom in commodities. And then that has been the basic structure of them here. And the latest boom has been absolutely across the board, and it's very difficult to find a peak in commodities precisely 9 years ago, anticipating this big bubble. This bubble out there is, let's say it's huge and magnificent, but like all bubbles, they get overdone, and then they get hit.
Headline, government chains are shackling Europe.
Yeah, Europe has always been susceptible to authoritarian measures taken by government, and that's what the headline says now. They're in probably Germany. They're back at it again with very hands-on government imposing the bureaucrats' will upon the public.
And, of course, you don't have just your local country's laws. You have to go through EU regulations as well.
Oh, yeah. And that's the one that the Brexit movement got England out of the clutches of Europe. And their current Prime Minister, Starmer, he's absolutely a globalist, and he wants to get England back into the control of the EU, and is very unpopular, but they can't seem to get him to resign. So British politics with Starmer is a fascinating issue. I watch it closely. So
yeah, and don't think you have free speech in Britain, because people are being thrown into jail for what we would call a legitimate opinion on something.
Oh, yeah. Some guy by the name of Robertson or something like that. Anyways, yeah. England, which was always traditionally the bastion of freedom, at the moment is in the clutches of control freaks.
Headline from Breitbart. Bid to hike taxes collapses in Bulgaria after thousands protest in capital.
There we are. Yeah. For ages, the protesters have been of the left and probably funded by the WEF globalists, and they're always protesting for more government intrusion. Now, this one is a change in that. This is ordinary public saying, I've had enough of your imposition. And what they do is they take your money and force you to do what they want. I mean, it is certainly not with the consent of the governed. It is, you know, it's an atrocious condition, but I think the public is becoming aware in many countries, and we're going to get a reform movement.
Now, in Canada, apart from your rent-a-pickets in cities like Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, that come out and protest anything. Being a reporter, it didn't matter what the issue was. It's the same 50 people protesting.
Well, we'd give or take a few. Many more people, and it's funded by international movements.
Mm.
The protest is a rent-a-crowd movement, and they're well-funded.
Yeah. Well, traditionally in Canada, if you're upset about something, I will send a strongly worded letter to the editor.
Yeah.
That's a Canadian protest.
Yeah.
Now, our last headline comes from the Wall Street Journal. Copper thieves are wreaking havoc across America.
Oh, yeah. Now, what that tells you is that the real price of copper is high enough such that thieves can come along and steal wire. Now, I'm watching for one that we haven't seen in quite a few years, and that's where the copper thief isn't aware that it's a live wire he's grabbing and then gets fried on the transformer or wherever they're trying to steal the wire from. So I think that'll happen yet. There will be some headlines about some poor sucker getting fried at a transformer. So,
right. And I have a question, Bob. Why is copper sometimes referred to as Dr. Copper?
Yeah, it is a prominent business cycle item. And, it's uncertain as how precise that is, but you're certainly going to have copper up in a boom and copper down in the bust. And,
So what's good for copper is good for the stock market. What's good for GM is good for America.
Yeah, you can say that, Jim. Yeah. But, you know, I've got a story of when I was, maybe grade 11 or so, living in Kelowna then, and we were close to the school grounds, large play area. And I found part of a hot plate, the ceramic disc, and it had a whole lot of fine wire coiled up in it. Well, this was great. We stretched the wire out, and with this ceramic disc, we were whirling around our head and throwing it up in the air. And unwittingly, we're moving across the big school grounds to where there were three high tension wires, and I can't remember if it was me or my buddy who did the last throw, but way up into the air, and then it came down on the high tension lines, and the wire shorted the whole thing out. Now, we weren't holding on to it, we're throwing it way up in the air. Now, my friend lived right across the street, and I guess it was June because the cherry tree was full bloom, a whole lot of leaves on it, so we thought we'd better get out of there. So we went and crawled up the tree and watched, and then eventually along came the East Kootenai Power and Light Company, and I think they had to change a transformer, and they couldn't figure it out, and we were not about to volunteer anything at all. So that's my story about shorting out high tension lines.
Well, Bob, yeah, now we know why our power bills are so high.
Right.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, it's fun to be with you, and we look forward to meeting again next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. We'll be back next week with more Bob Hoy.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.